You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to the My Senior Horse Podcast. This is for people who own, manage, and love senior horses, ponies, donkeys, and mules can come to share our passion and to learn more about caring for our senior equids. In this episode, we're going to talk about equine asthma with Dr. Amy Polks. I'm your host, Kim Brown, and editor for My Senior Horse. We launched the global My Senior Horse brand in partnership with Linda Mars and Mars Horse Care in mid-2024. We offer many ways to get information on older equids, including this biweekly podcast, articles on myseniorhorse.com website, videos, and so much more. Make sure and visit the website. Our guest for this episode is Dr. Amy Polks. She owns an equine internal medicine mobile consulting practice called Equine IMED. She primarily practices in Maryland and Virginia, but she also attends horses in Pennsylvania, New York, and Connecticut. Dr. Polks also works part-time for Antech Diagnostics, a part of Mars Pet Care. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Polks.
Thank you for having me.
So we're going to jump right in for our audience. So Dr. Polks, can you tell us what is equine asthma?
That is a great question. So equine asthma encompasses all of the inflammatory type diseases that horses can get in their lungs. And what I mean by that is there used to be different terminology. You may have heard COPD or RAO or IAD, and these are all sort of different iterations of types of inflammation that is occurring in the lungs. So not infection, but inflammation. But then there is a consensus statement from the American College of Veterinary Internal Medicine Specialists, of which I am a member, and it was basically stating that asthma in that the inflammatory disease in horses was close enough to asthma in people that we were going to give it a blanket term of equine asthma. And so that may be the horse that is young, that has just a little bit of inflammation, to a much older horse that has more of the typical type disease that you see where that used to be called COPD or RAO, where they're having trouble breathing at rest. They're not just having a performance problem. They may be coughing, they may be wheezing. So equine asthma is sort of all of those things. And it does oftentimes look very different in an older horse than it does in a young horse. And that's why I wanted to explain this, because they all say that, but they do really present in two very different ways.
Well, let's start with some basics, and then we'll get into maybe some specifics on the senior. So how is equine asthma diagnosed, treated, and can it be prevented in its different forms?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So what's really happening is that there is either inflammation, so different cell types that are causing inflammation in the lower airway. There might be mucus, but it's basically obstruction in the lower airway. And so air can't get out. You can't get good air exchange. And the reason that they have this sort of this cough that can happen, or they have exercise intolerance, is because they can't get air in and out of their lungs very well. Again, just like a person with asthma. And so in order to truly diagnose it, we do a procedure called a BAL, which is a bronchoalveolar lavage. And so if the horse has clinical signs of asthma, so they're not sick, right? They don't have a fever, they're, normal blood work, there's no nasal discharge, that we realize that it is more of a non-infectious condition, and that's what we suspect, then, again, the diagnosis for asthma would be this bronchoalveolar lavage, where we pass a tube into the lower airway and basically do a little lung wash, and that gives us some fluid that we send off to a clinical pathologist that will then tell us what cell types are in there. Is there mucus? Are there, pollen grains, or, all this kind of stuff? And in horses, you said something about lots of questions here, treatment, prevention, but starting off with, does the horse have asthma? So yeah. First, we're going to look at clinical signs, history, clinical exam. And then if we truly want to diagnose it, we do our BAL. But asthma in horses is most often driven by environment. And that would mean, you know, seasonal allergies, exposure to lots of dusts and mold. So if you take a horse and they're in a barn and they have hay stored above their head, for example, and all of those dusts and mold are raining down on them, or they have a round bale in the field and they shove their nose into the round bale and inhale all of those things. Or, you know, in oftentimes the cases that I see is a horse may be moved from one location to another, either from a different country to our country or in different areas of the country, and they've never been exposed to some of the environmental allergens, grasses, trees, weeds, or just year after year. Like when I was younger, I didn't really have seasonal allergies, and now I do, you know, so things can change. But the most important thing is environment, because we can treat the inflammation and we can treat the clinical signs, but we don't often cure asthma. We manage it just like in a person. When they have asthma, they have asthma. They try to avoid all the things that are going to cause the asthma. They have a rescue inhaler if they can't breathe, but ultimately it is, you know, a chronic, you know, progressive condition. And so when I talk to clients about it, I talk about in a different arms, and the, you know, one arm is the management, one arm is the medication, and then there are some supplements that can help, but from the standpoint of treatment, management. So no hay storage above the head, good airflow if they're going to be in a stall. Sometimes people, you know, end up moving their horses outside. Some horses, like I did my residency at University of Florida, and there were some horses that had pasture-associated asthma and they needed to be moved inside, you know, so it all depends on where you are. Generally speaking, no round bales. If you have to have a round bale, we recommend a cover for it, like a net, so that they can't shove their nose in it. Wetting or steaming hay can be really helpful so that you reduce the allergens. If you have an arena that they're being ridden in, you can wet the arena so that they're not inhaling things. You know, all of those things that just, you know, the environment. If you walk into the barn and you start coughing, that's what your horse is breathing, right? Another very important thing, don't sweep or blow the aisles while the horses are in the barn, because you're just, you know, sweeping that in. So there's lots of environmental things that we do, but it is the most critical thing to success. So that's sort of the management part. And then medications, depending on the severity of the disease and the severity of the clinical signs, medication can be anywhere from systemic treatments like a steroid that might decrease the inflammation and allow them to breathe, a bronchodilator to allow them to open their airways. We do use inhalers in horses, just like they have in people. We have an apparatus that has a special spacer. We have a nebulizer that we can put saline and drugs through. So there's lots of different ways that can be managed. Another thing that I do in my practice is I am in a highly allergenic area, Maryland and Virginia. We have a lot of, you know, really beautiful flowers, trees, grasses, but there's a lot of allergens here. And I do a lot of allergy testing and desensitization. It is not perfect science from the standpoint of when we do a serum allergy test, we can have a general idea of what a horse might be allergic to as far as grasses, trees, weeds, but it is not specific. So I don't ever do like elimination. Like you can't have Timothy or Orchard because it's, you know, impossible. But just like desensitization in people, we do desensitization in horses so that their system, their immune system, and their, you know, they don't have such a big response to exposure to allergens. And so there's lots of different things that we can do, and it is definitely not one size fits all. And there are things that we have to be careful about with different breeds and horses that might have an insulin dysregulation problem. We're not going to want to put them on a steroid, but inhaled steroids might be okay. So, you know, not every one of them is different.
And wow, that's a lot. And I realize this is a big topic. And this is something that if horse owners have a concern, they should talk to their veterinarians about this.
They definitely should. But I think the most important thing, the prevention and you know, recognition of it is looking in the barn and sort of, you know, seeing, are there things that I can do to help my horse have the best air quality as possible?
Mars Equestrian, a sponsorship division of Mars Incorporated, is dedicated to highlighting the Mars brands, such as Buckeye Nutrition, Spillers, Antech Diagnostics, Sound Imaging, Royal Canin, Pedigree, Nutro, and many more in the equestrian world. Whether it's through nutrition, veterinary care, or education, our purpose is to create a better world for horses, pets, and the people who love them.
Some things that owners might notice early on that even can be just seasonal allergies that isn't necessarily full-blown asthma would be just like you or I. They may just have, especially during different seasons, you know, spring, summer, fall, just a little clear nasal discharge. They may see that after they ride, if the horse is being ridden, that they have this coming out of their nose. And in those cases, you can do something as simple as a Zyrtec, cetirizine is the drug name, for your horse. And that can help, you know, a lot. Maybe it's not asthma. Things noticing how the horse is just breathing at rest. If they're doing really deep abdominal breathing, that I would definitely contact your veterinarian. What used to be called when it was called heaves, a heave line was when the muscles that sort of control by your diaphragm, those would get really, really big because the horses were using their diaphragm to push air out of their lungs. And that's why it's like they're really breathing very big, deep breaths. And so that's where that term came from. If the horse is being ridden, looking at their recovery, does it take them a while before their respiratory rate comes back to normal? Do they have nostril flare? You know, these are all really things that you can see. I would say, especially in younger horses with less severe disease, almost always they do not have a cough. And older horses with more advanced disease, they often do have a cough. And I'm very good at doing the cough. It's like an expiratory cough, like a, like that. I have all my coughs down. But that's what you'll hear. And it's usually a dry cough. They usually seem fine. Otherwise, again, they're not sick. It's something that really we want to catch as early as we can, because the more severe they get, the harder it is to get them back into control. So it's really important to notice even some little signs that you might see. You know, maybe they're just coughing a couple of times and, you know, you might not think anything of it. But if you haven't spoken to your vet about it, I would definitely recommend that.
Absolutely. And we mentioned senior horses. Of course, that's our passion here. And it seems like there's several things that might make senior horses a little more prone to some of these problems that go along with equine asthma.
Yes. You know, first of all, you're talking at like PPID, that can be something. So that is the pars. It's a pituitary adenoma, benign pituitary tumor in horses, you know, and as they age, anything 15 and older, definitely 20 and older, sometimes referred to as Cushing's disease, but it's not really Cushing's. So we try to call it PPID, you know, the actual name. And those horses, they can be more susceptible to infections and harder to have, you know, to maintain certain things in their health. And we do sometimes see the horses that have PPID, they may have more chronic sinus infections, or they may have worse asthma, or they, you know, all of these things. So those things can make them more, definitely more susceptible. And again, also just depending on, you know, senior horses, depending on how they're you know, housed, and if they are maybe used to being in a barn and then they're out all the time, they can have differences in what their environment is. You know, an out is good, but sometimes there are things out that are really causing them a problem that maybe didn't when they weren't out all the time. And one of the most important things is that we all recognize that there are some changes that are going on in our environment. And sometimes when we have, you know, we are sort of talking about how, you know, this winter, a lot of the Western states didn't get as much snow as they usually do. And all these changes can affect how things, grasses, molds, weeds, all these things, it has an effect on them too. So sometimes horses that maybe never were affected, they are just like people. Yeah. So we have to keep all of these things in mind.
Yeah, that's so true. And you had mentioned also, and I have seen this because I'm originally from Kentucky and now I live in Wyoming, two totally different environments. So I'm used to your, you know, molds and allergens on a daily basis. But when I was there, I noticed a lot of the animals, dogs and horses and people, the longer they were there, the more susceptible they became to some of these.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think that I've had both scenarios. I've had horses that moved again from a different location. Maybe they come from Europe and they immediately start to have a problem, but that depends on when they come. Maybe if they come in the dead of winter, not a problem, come spring. But to your point, I've had horses where people will say, well, last spring they were a little drippy, maybe a little cough, and then the spring before, but now they are really full blown, you know, now I have exercise intolerance, et cetera. So it definitely can be progressive. So it can, you know, show up in any way. And the most important thing that we try to figure out is there an infection or is this, you know, inflammation? And so the usual things, whether they have a fever, you know, whether they show sickness in any other way, and your veterinarian would examine them. But then the next thing is, you know, what is the problem? Is it just, you know, a seasonal thing, or is it more significant and there's more inflammation? But one thing that people sometimes forget is that we do talk a lot about inflammation, but mucus obstruction without inflammation is also can present like asthma because it is obstruction. So sometimes because of exposure to things, they will produce a lot of mucus and that mucus will get clogged in their lower airways. And again, they can't get enough air in and air out. And so that can be a problem. And again, how we address that are all different ways. And there are, you know, back to the different drugs, there are some mucolytics, things that can break up mucus. And, you know, it just really depends on what you're dealing with. But I do think that some people don't understand, you know, that mucus alone can be a problem. And when I do that bronchoalveolar lavage in the sample, the clinical pathologist will see sometimes, again, like pollens, molds, things like that, that will tell me that there is stuff in the environment that they're exposed to and that it sticks to the mucus. I've also had things where they see parts of, like, you know, I've had people who have new flooring in their indoor, and some of those can be like little carpet fibers or something. All of that stuff can cause inflammation. So we have to think about all of the things. But, you know, for a true diagnosis and to understand, do they have asthma? Don't they have asthma? What kind? What cell types? The BAL is the important thing. And we know, you know, there should be less than 5% neutrophils in the lungs, less than 2% mast cells, these things. And then once we understand, is it normal, is it not, and what's in there, then we can address, as veterinarians can say, how are we going to manage it?
Oh, that's all such great tips. So I'm going to ask just one final question of you, Dr. Pokes. For owners of senior equids, no matter if they're horses, donkeys, mules, ponies, is there something that you would advise people to keep an eye on that might help them determine if their horses either were getting or had some sort of equine asthma clinical signs?
Yeah, I think some of the things that I had mentioned, you know, is the breathing. And one of the other things is, you know, changes with season. A lot of times when we get, you know, warmer temperatures, you might notice that your horse is panting more, but more than others. And if there are multiple horses, you can look from like, is my horse breathing more than it should? The things that I tell my clients to look for, is it breathing again from the abdomen? Doing a simple respiratory rate where you count the number of breaths in 15 seconds and multiply it by 4. You know, normal should be around 20. You know, if your horse is at 36 or 40, you know, that might be a sign that they're having trouble. And horses sometimes can tolerate more than I wish they tolerated, but, you know, literally just really watching them standing there. The other important thing is nostril flare. You know, you shouldn't really be able to, unless they're after exercise, just at rest, their nostrils should not really be opening and closing a lot. And so if you notice your horse is breathing heavier, or again, the nasal drip, these are all signs that you know, people can watch for. So I think, you know, just keeping an eye on those things.
That's always good to, we emphasize observation of our horses, just to, you never know what you've missed if you're just out there rushing around getting chores done or get done riding and just pitch the horse out. So yes, I think those are great tips. Thank you very much for joining us today, Dr. Pokes.
Thank you as always for having me. And I really enjoy doing this. So thank you.
Well, we love having you on. And we've had some other podcasts with Dr. Pokes. And I will make sure and include in the article that goes with this particular podcast on equine asthma some of the others. So if you've enjoyed her as much as I enjoy talking to her and learning more, then you can see some of the other podcasts that she's done. And we encourage our listeners to sign up for our weekly newsletter to be the first to get information from My Senior Horse, like the new podcasts. And if you have any comments or suggestions about senior horses, ponies, donkeys, or mules that you would like to have discussed on this podcast or delved into for the content of myseniorhorse.com, send an email to me at kbrown, that's the letter K, Brown, at equinenetwork.com. Thanks for joining us today. Take care of yourselves and your senior equids.